Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Great. Good to see people have some energy in the morning. Like Sandra said, I am an MPH student at UNC Chapel Hill, and I also worked full-time on this project before I went back to school. So I've been working with the Aspire study since 2012. And today I'll be talking about some data collected from that study, as well as STARS, the Standardized Tobacco Assessment for Retail Settings, and how states and communities can use that tool in tobacco control policy work. I have nothing to disclose. I'd like to recognize the rest of the team who works on this project. It's a fantastic collaboration between researchers at UNC Chapel Hill, Washington University in St. Louis, and the Stanford Prevention Research Center. And we have fantastic direction from our PIs as well as the rest of the study team. It's funded by the National Cancer Institute and the State and Community Tobacco Control Initiative, which is a really collaborative project that brings together researchers from a number of universities and engages practitioners in creating research that can really help inform policy and looking at how do we translate that research into tools and resources for practitioners. So today I'm going to introduce or hopefully give a review of STARS to many of you. I'll be talking about data that we measured in the Aspire study that's related to measures on the STARS forms. And I'll discuss some additional tools that have been created to support the STARS materials as practitioners move forward in using this tool. And throughout, I hope to highlight the use of this standardized tool and why it was created for point of sale practitioners. So we'll start out with a little bit of background. I just briefly wanted to remind us all of the wealth of research that we have at this point linking the impact of marketing and advertising and promotions at the point of sale to smoking behaviors. So in order to understand what's really going on in the store environment, store assessments have been used by both researchers and practitioners. We heard New York State's been doing this for a while, as well as California and states across the nation. So this systematic review was done by Joseph Lee and colleagues, and they found an increasing number of publications, both domestically and globally, using store assessments in their point of sale research. However, we see that there's not a lot of standardization in those measures that are being used. So 73% of the studies that they looked at used no sort of existing or standardized measure. And while 27% did use existing measures, there was a lot of variation in those measures being used. The two most common were Impact Teen and Operation Storefront. Store Alert Report Card, which some might be familiar with, or also is down towards the bottom with about 1% using. And these tools are also a bit outdated. They don't include questions about e-cigarettes, which we know are a huge pressing issue in the current tobacco control landscape. So there was really a need to create some sort of standardized tool that was evidence-based and had the input of researchers and practitioners and update that tool for use with current store assessments. So based on that need, STARS was created. So the Standardized Tobacco Assessment for Retail Settings is a front and back two-page form. You can see it here. It has about 20 items on it that are related to products, flavors, the placement of those products within the store, prices, promotions. And the form was really developed to inform policy, not for research, not for enforcement, not for compliance, but really to look at how do we collect information on what's happening in our stores to then take that information to our policymakers or to our community to educate them about the problem that's occurring in the point of sale. So the audience is state and local tobacco control practitioners. There are a number of additional materials that were developed to help train communities to use STARS, and I'll talk a little bit about those later. And most importantly, the tool is free for download. It's publicly available with all the training materials, so you can access it at this link on countertobacco.org, as well as some other links from partner sites. STARS was a really collaborative project. We were led by Lisa Henriksen and the SCTC project, but we had a number of partners. Todd Rogers is in the room, and he also helped on this initiative. There are many others. And we involved both researchers, as I've mentioned, as well as practitioners, really hearing what would be helpful, engaging the policy experts in the area to understand what needed to be included on this form and what could be left off for the sake of time. If you don't have a lot of time when you're doing assessments in stores. You want to get in and out as inconspicuously as you can usually. So. STARS was released in the summer of 2014, and this survey was done by Washington University and St. Louis towards the end of 2014, and they found that 34 states that they spoke with, and these were in state tobacco control programs, so 34 states indicated that they were conducting store observations, and 24 of those 34 states indicated that they were either currently using STARS or had plans to use STARS in the near future. So there's been really rapid adoption, that buy-in and engagement of practitioners in the creation of this tool, as well as we think the utility and the ease of use in accessing this tool has really led to its adoption across the U.S. and a variety of states, right? We're not just seeing our New Yorks and our Californias using it, but we're seeing a lot of Middle America using it as well, some groups that traditionally aren't thought of as being involved in the point of sale area yet, so that's really exciting for us. So I'm going to talk a bit about the methods of the Aspire study to let you know how the data that I'll be presenting was collected. So Aspire stands for Advancing Science and Policy in the Retail Environment. And in this study, we selected a nationally representative sample of stores that sold cigarettes. And we are in 40 states and 97 unique counties. There were three waves of data collection. The first one started in 2012, and we just completed our third wave, very exciting, in August. And in this data collection, we're visiting about 2,300 stores across the U.S. So the data that I will present to you comes from 2014 in our second wave. At this point, the STARS measures were completed, and we were able to include those questions within our larger survey that we were using in doing our store assessments. So as we're looking at this data, just kind of take yourself back to 2014 when blue e-cigarettes had kind of just been introduced onto the market. We weren't seeing quite the explosion of e-cigarettes that we're seeing yet, and you'll notice that in the data that I show you. I just wanted to point out a couple of differences in methods between what we did in Aspire and what states and communities might do using STARS. The methods are really up to the communities and how they choose to use the STARS form, but in Aspire, we used iPads for our data collection. So we programmed the survey with an app. We had professional data collectors who are study team trained. And again, our sample were only stores that sold cigarettes. And the STARS questions were embedded within a much longer survey that had other questions as well. And in our analysis, we've weighted our data to make sure that it was nationally representative. So, the results. So in our sample, there were 2,274 stores that we ended up getting complete interior and exterior store assessments on. And you can see here the distribution of those types of stores. So almost 50% of the stores that we visited were convenience stores with or without a gas station. And you can see that only 3% of those stores that were in our sample were tobacco shops. I'd like to draw your attention to the beer, wine, and liquor stores, and the drug stores and pharmacies. You can see both of those, about 9.5% of the stores that we visited were in those two categories. However, when we look at stores that have a pharmacy counter and stores that sell alcohol, you see those numbers really change. So the questions on STARS really help us to understand when we're thinking about crafting policy, when we're thinking about doing education, what are we talking about? Are we talking about just stores that are traditionally thought of as pharmacies, like our Walgreens, Rite Aids? Or are we including stores that have a pharmacy counter that still act as a pharmacy and as a place of health and well-being in our communities? And we see that that covers a much larger number of stores. So helpful to think about those things. STARS also looks at if stores accept WIC and SNAP for food assistance. And this is a great way to engage our food partners in these types of surveys. A number of communities have added additional questions onto STARS from food assessments to really help engage those partners across different disciplines in this work. The next couple of measures will look at tobacco product availability within the store. So when we look at what products are sold, again, we see 100% of our stores sold cigarettes. That was our eligibility criteria for the study. And after cigarettes, we see that little cigars and cigarillos are the next most common product category being sold in stores. When we look at flavored products, and this study does not include menthol as a flavor. We broke menthol out as a separate category. You see here menthol cigarettes being sold, so we're not including those as a flavor throughout these results. But when we look at flavors, we see that the little cigar and cigarillo category, the majority of stores selling those products are also selling them as flavored. And again, with the smokeless, chew, moist, or dry, snuff, dip, and snooze category. And again, here you'll see, you might be wondering, oh, only 46% of stores with the e-cigarettes, but again, 2014, things weren't quite as crazy as they are now. So these results look a little bit different in the analyses that we're running right now and the data that we just finished collecting. And when we look at products being sold as singles, so individual cigarillos or individual large cigars, we're seeing that most stores selling those products are also selling them as singled products at very cheap prices. Looking at the proximity of products to this group of other products that appeal to youth, we see that e-cigarettes are the most common product being found within the 12-inch proximity. And we really think this is a product of kind of the explosion of the category at this time. There wasn't a lot of direction in how to merchandise these products. They were being sold all over the stores, on the counters, in these special displays. So we're interested to see how this changes as e-cigarette companies get really strategic and they're starting to move behind the counter into the power walls. But we're interested to see how this changes. But this is a really important measure when you think about youth access to tobacco products and youth appeal of tobacco products. So looking at how products are advertised in the store, we see that 57% of stores displayed some sort of exterior advertisement for tobacco products. And when we break that down by product, we see that 50% of stores have an ad for cigarettes of some kind, and then by non-menthol and menthol cigarettes. And after that, we find that the next most common product being advertised on the exterior of a store after cigarettes was e-cigarettes. And we were kind of surprised by this. We think it's, again, kind of due to the emergence of these products at this time. But we see that their e-cigarette companies are getting smart about their marketing strategies. And I do want to mention here, in this study, when we are talking about e-cigarettes, we use a very broad definition. So we're including vape pens, e-hookahs, cigalikes, disposables, tank modules, the whole, anything you can think of that vapes or is electronic and smoking is included in this category. When we look at interior advertisements, so moving inside of the store, that are below 3 feet, so thinking about the eye level of a young child, again, we see that same trend with cigarettes being the most common, and then e-cigarettes, followed by cigarillos, the smokeless category, and then large cigars. Looking at price promotions are some special or discounted price. It's usually time limited, so not just thinking about an advertised price, but thinking about some sort of incentive to buy now that tobacco products offer. Again, we see the most common there is the cigarettes, and then the more traditional categories follow, smokeless, little cigars. When we started the second wave of data collection, we had actually never seen a price promotion for e-cigarettes, and I remember doing the training, and in our first training for this wave, we saw a promotion in the stores, and we were like, oh, well, there they are, here it goes. So this number also looks very different in our third wave of data collection that we just completed. STARS also collects information on advertised prices of products in stores. It collects the cheapest pack price, the price of Newport menthol, just the Newport menthol greens, and the blue disposable menthol variety of the e-cigarette. In Aspire, we also collected the price of Marlboro, so we included that here. And this is the price advertised without sales tax. So we see a lot of variation due to excise tax across the country. This is presenting that with that excise tax removed. And one thing we found really interesting was the price of blue e-cigarettes really didn't vary across the United States. Overwhelmingly, I think it was close to 80% of prices recorded with without sales tax were recorded as $9.99. So we thought that was really interesting. Usually there's some regional variation, and we really didn't see that with the e-cigarettes. So that's the data that we collected on a national level using the STARS questions. And I just want to provide some additional resources related to STARS. It's a really fantastic tool that's been created, and it's had a lot of support to create other materials to increase the utility of it in use in the field. So I want to run through those really quickly. I mentioned the training materials. These are all free for download on the site with the survey. They come in a nice zip file. You can send them to all your friends. There's a pocket guide that you can take out with you into the field that provides examples of the products. If you're new to doing store assessments, once you get out in the stores, you realize the explosion of things that you're looking at. So this is a really helpful tool to give you a quick reference as to, you know, what am I looking for in this question. There's also a PowerPoint. STARS is was designed to be able to for communities to self-train, so to download the PowerPoint, go through it with their community group on their own, and then be able to do the survey. There is also a data entry template that we created. So once you have the data, there's always a question of, what do I do next? So this helped provide an entry point to start your analysis on that data. This is a fantastic case study. It's four communities that have used STARS, and it outlines their lessons learned. It's incredibly helpful, and I think one of the best things that's been created from the STARS project is this policy crosswalk. So once we have the information on, you know, what percentage of stores are selling e-cigarettes, what do we do with that data? How do we make it actionable? How do we turn that into a talking point to educate our youth, to educate our communities, to educate our policymakers? And this crosswalk helps communities link up the data that they're collecting with STARS with the types of policies that can be implemented to help reduce the marketing and advertising in stores. So I can't promote this policy crosswalk enough. It is also free for download. You can find it on Washington University at St. Louis's site or countertobacco.org. There was also a concordance study done looking at reliability. This was done by RTI, and there was a poster yesterday that maybe some of you got to see. But it compared professionally trained data collectors with self-trained data collectors in New York State. And we found that on average, 72% of those items had really good reliability. So it seems that STARS is an acceptable measure to be used by communities, by self-trained data collectors in doing this work. We also conducted some telephone surveys with individuals who had downloaded STARS, and the numbers I presented earlier about states using STARS, this is where that comes from, but really exciting, we see that 7 of 11 states where STARS was adopted had not reported doing any type of marketing surveillance in the past year. So we're seeing this as really an entry point now that communities are equipped with a pre-made tool, they don't have to go through that painful process of creating something. That communities are starting to do store assessments and assessing the point of sale environment. And coming soon, exciting news, we'll be developing an additional module related specifically to e-cigarettes. So a whole module of additional questions that communities can use to assess e-cigarettes in their environment. We know this is really important. And a beta form to be used in vape stores. So vape stores are this new kind of interesting, scary place. And we'll be developing a tool that will help communities go out and assess what's happening in vape stores. And we're looking for your input. We know that you all are the experts in this area, so if you have ideas and thoughts about what needs to be in these forms, or if you know a group that would be willing to pilot these forms for us, please get in contact with Jessica Eady. She's the new managing director at countertobacco.org, or you can email me and we'll get you in touch with the right people. But we're really looking for practitioner input, for researcher input into these things, people who are experts in the e-cigarette world. So I'll just conclude saying that STARS is really being widely adopted by communities. The standardized tool, it takes the burden out of the people who are doing good work. They don't have to create a tool on their own. They're able to use something that is already created, and it's standardized. So if you're collecting information within your whole state, you're using the same tool, and you're able to, you know, educate your policymakers and say, look what's happening in our rural areas, look what's happening in our more urban areas, and really make those comparisons. And as more states start to use it, you're able to look across jurisdictions and states as well. And this type of information can really help communities prioritize the policies that they'll be implementing in the future. So thank you so much.
We have a minute and a half of questions. So you can...
Sure.
I noticed, so I did an operations store program. that form starting to be adapted for when we're really not going to see, you know, something near toys or, you know, except alcohol instead of all we see out there.
Sure.
But, you know, the tobacco stuff is just so getting so much more restrictive that what's the timeline for adapting these materials when that happens?
Sure. So Operation Storefront, one of the reasons the STARS was created was because forms like Operation Storefront and the Store Alert Report Card were so outdated, and we really needed something updated. So as we adapt, as we create the e-cig questions and the additional STARS module, we're looking at, are there questions based on the reliability study that was done, based on the feedback that we're getting from the field, can we create STARS 2.0? already. So we are looking at that, and this group of people is really committed to making sure STARS stays updated. So a revision is something that's in people's minds. And I will say I think that varies a lot by community. So I think that while some communities might find questions about, you know, the proximity to candy, toys, and gum totally irrelevant, other communities, it is very much still a reality. And I think that's helpful as we say, you know, look, New York has done all of this work around point of sale and educating their store owners about the harmful nature of tobacco marketing exposure. Look, we should do that in our community because we are still exposing our youth. So I think that states that are farther along can still collect that information. It can be really useful to making those comparisons so other communities can also do that type of work. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.